community. Let me just, I want to share something. We live in a very self-centered, let me take a picture of myself. Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, that's cool. I think we have a picture of another person that's a selfie. We have to see that beach. I miss this guy. Katie, tell him I miss him. I'm just enjoying being with you guys and being with Pastor and being on staff, having staff infection here. And but how do you interpret that? That amazes me. Okay. But anyway, what I want to talk about today is being faithful. Faithful in service. I want to ask you a question. If somebody were to ask you or describe you with one word, and this one word was always, always, what would they say about you? What would others say that you're always doing, always encouraging, always griping, always finding fault, always finding good, always working, 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 you're a workaholic, always working out, sharing his faith, sharing her faith, always texting, excuse me. If you're texting, I'm sure you're just texting somebody and saying, you're missing a great service, right? I sure hope we get out of here soon. Hope he doesn't go long. Okay. We are living in a very selfish, self-centered, promoting culture that you and I live in this morning. I went and got into Google and Googled these about self-promoting, that kind of stuff, and I found out the definition of it. I Googled, and one of the things that popped up was how to master the delicate art of self-promotion. Oh, that was cool, okay. And then another one I came up with, 11 rules of self-promotion I found. And then I saw one, it's not on there, just leave that up there, but Forbes wrote one called Self-Promotion is a Skill. You need to learn how to promote yourself. Isn't that interesting? Our young people, our teenagers are wanting to be a career and celebrity unless you're in England and then you decide to move to But we want to be a YouTube star, the young people. Want others to see how great I am. What does it mean, GOAT? G-O-A-T. Anybody? Who said that? Matt. Okay. Oh, no, Matt's over here. What's your first name?
Sean.
And you knew that. Remember Muhammad Ali said that? The greatest of all times. Some of you are thinking, goat in church. Okay. Our culture, we have a problem. And if you want to follow Jesus, Jesus begins to teach the opposite of what we're being taught in our world, in self-promoting, self-centeredness. Jesus teaches the opposite of that. He says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and what? Follow me. Okay? He said, you want to be great? You don't self-promote. He said, the greatest among you will be a servant. So if you're a follower of Jesus, he invites you to be selfless. Selfless. Serving is not just something we do, ladies and gentlemen, here at Marshalltown Nazarene. It's not something we do. It's the core of who we are called to be. I want you to say something out loud, and you haven't been real great about hearing your own voice this morning because you're not wanting to self-promote yourself, right? Here it is. I want you to say this out loud. I am a servant of the Most High God. Repeat after me. I am a servant of the Most High God. When I serve others, I'm serving Christ. You see, so it's not what we do, it's servant is who we are. Appreciate Chris out there doing all the driveways and stuff out there. That was kind of cool. Thank you. Because it was too cold for me. Acts chapter 9, if you take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, however you get your scripture, it's on the screen in just a moment. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 is a powerful verse about somebody who was always doing something. Here it is. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She's always doing good and helping the poor. Think about this. Always doing good and helping the poor. She was the first Greek female ever mentioned in the New Testament. She was always doing good and helping the poor. What a description to have. Matter of fact, her ministry was so important that when she died, God used Peter to actually raise her back up from the dead. And because of that, a revival broke out. And I use the word revival and I'm thinking, what is that? How many remember when we used to have revivals? Oh, wow, a lot of you. Okay. So here in Iowa, they had revivals. Man, they quit a long time ago where we came from. Always doing good. She was always, instead of self-promoting, she was selfless. Now, let me ask you a question. Here it is. How do we become a faithful servant? I don't know. I can't give to the poor. I don't have much money. I can't sing like the praise team was singing this morning. I can't teach. I don't know how I can make a difference. Let me give you three simple things this morning, and then we'll be out of here and beat the Baptist to the restaurant, okay? Three things, simple stories. And I hope that they help you and inspire you this morning. Here it is. Number one is bring a lunch. Number two, offer a ride. Number three, carry a towel. How do we become a faithful servant? Bring a lunch. Just leave that up there. In the Old Testament, King David was a war hero. Remember King David? He was David and Goliath. How many, you remember that? Sunday school or church somewhere? He killed the giant. He was so admired. Think about this. He was so admired that women would actually sing to him when he came back from war. I thought to myself the other day, I thought, man, if I come home one day from the battle of preaching and I walk through the door and Trish just starts singing to me. Probably not going to happen. People would say he was the greatest because he won the battle. I think it's because he brought a lunch. What do you say, what do you mean by a lunch? He was the youngest. Jesse, the dad, asked him to do something. He'd take these 10 loaves, baskets of bread, and give them to your brothers. How many want to help your brothers and sisters? Ugh. Hey, David, you want to one day fight a giant? One day you want to be great in battle? First, you need to bring a lunch. Willing to do the insignificant. Look at it says in 1 Samuel 17. Follow along with me. Verse 17. One day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. Offer the lunch. Number two, offer a ride. Wow. 553-year-old prophecy. Before it ever took place for Palm Sunday, before that ever took place, it was Zechariah said that there would be a king coming in one day riding on a donkey. I thought maybe it should be a white horse, maybe a limo. Today's culture, maybe a moped. I don't know. In Luke, look what it says in Luke 19:31. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Say that out loud. The Lord needs it. Out loud. The Lord. How can I be a servant? Offer someone a ride. I don't know about this business person who's in the New Testament. I don't know much about him. We don't even know his name. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know how many donkeys he owned. But we do know that he had a business that somehow he could afford a donkey. He said, yes, take my donkey, and he offered a ride. Now, notice what he didn't say in that scripture. He didn't say, this is my low mileage, never been ridden donkey. If the Lord has need him, then I'm willing to do it. It's not good, but I'll let get. Because I'm a servant of the Most High God. So today, how can we make a difference being a servant? Here at Marshalltown Nazarene Church. First, bring a lunch. Second, offer a ride. And last, carry a towel. This is powerful. It's in the setting is in just before the Passover. On Thursday night, they had a secret meeting going on, and Jesus was there. You know the story. You've been around Easter and Palm Sunday and all that Holy Week, and he's there with the disciples on the night before he was crucified, and he knows what's going to happen. He knows tomorrow he's going to give his life. And he knows that one of his best friends, Judas. Now, you say, how would you know that he's a best friend? Who would you trust money to? Somebody you don't like? He was the treasure. Obviously, he was a friend. Then there was others. The disciples began to argue. You know what they wanted to know? Who is the goat? Who's the greatest of all times? John says, well, I'm the greatest. Obviously, we know that. Marshalltown Nazarene Church can't get along without me. Right? John wrote in the second person, he says, I'm the one that Jesus loves. Now, Peter kind of got upset. He said, no. You all stayed in the boat. I'm the only one that walked on water. So what does Jesus do at this point when these guys begin to argue who's the greatest? What could happen in a church if it didn't matter who got the credit? If that really happened here, we would have an empty church this year. No, you couldn't contain. They'd be trying to line up to get in here. That's my pacemaker, in case you were wondering. What did Jesus do? He looked around and he sees these proud hearts, and he sees the dirty feet. And look what he says in John chapter 13. I want you to look at it. Jesus got up from the meal, took off the outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. You know what they said? Jesus, you can't do that. Even though it was the custom in those days, but it wasn't the custom for the leader to do it. It was a servant's job. You ever have somebody come in and, can I take your coat? Can I open the door for you? Wow, servant. Jesus looks around and sees proud hearts and dirty feet. And what does he do? He gets on his knees. He gets a bowl and a towel and starts washing feet. Who is Jesus this morning? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the bread of life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the living water. He's the great high priest. Who is Jesus? He's the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the righteous judge. He's the living stone. Who's Jesus? He's the true vine, the King of glory, the chosen one. Who is he? He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you agree with me, be real quiet. Amen. He's the King of kings and Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Redeemer and righteousness, our rock, our Lord. That's who Jesus is. And he knelt down and washed feet. How would Jesus treat your loved one? How would Jesus treat your wife? How would Jesus treat your husband? What if everybody started treating, how would Jesus treat your kids? Jesus knew that the greatest among you is never a self-promoter, always, always a servant. So what is the three things today? Bring a lunch, offer a ride, and carry a towel. Put those three up there, Tom, yeah. Bring a lunch, offer a ride, carry a towel. Serving is not something we do here at this church, it's who we are. When I serve others, I'm serving Jesus. Just before we walk out of here, Jesus told one more story, Matthew 25, and Jesus said at the end of times, he's going to separate sheep on one side and what's on the other side? Goats. Really? Who do you want to be? To the goats, he's going to say, sorry, I never knew you. To the sheep, he's going to say, welcome. When I was thirsty, sheep, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When did that happen? How do I become great? It's less about you and more about him. Less of you. Do you remember Glenn Campbell? I'm sure all the teenagers do. You've got to try a little kindness and a little less of. There's a great song back there. A little less of me. Well done, good and faithful servant. What are you always doing? Well, I'm always offering a ride. I'm always carrying a towel. I'm always bringing a lunch. You're doing it, he says unto me. Matthew 23:11, look at this. The greatest among you will be your servant. Read that scripture with me. The greatest among you will be your servant. I believe some of you today are going to be aware of the reality that maybe, possibly, if you were honest, that you're really living for yourself. And that's normal because we live in a selfie-centered world, don't we? The kids don't remember, but there was a day way back that we used to take pictures of other people. Trish and I are really getting into this tech stuff. We text each other goodnight while we were laying there last night. It was really cool. Man. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Who is Jesus? He's the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the forgiveness of our sins. So why wouldn't I, somebody who's willing to wash my feet, who really wants to live through me, what could happen this week if my answer to whatever he asked of me is yes? Yes. Yes. Jesus, the answer today is you, is yes. Wow. Yes. You can't say no, it's yes, Lord. Because as soon as we say no, he's not Lord. Yes, Lord, not no, Lord. Because he's not Lord if we don't say yes. Think about that for a minute. What grace that he gives to us. For God so loved the world. He gave his son. What grace. No other word for grace, but amazing. Just in your quietness here with your just eyes closed, I think you know this. There's no words on the screen. I was just thinking of a song. I just said, Trish, help me on this one. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved, sing it with us, a wretch like me. I once was lost, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we stand with us, been there 10,000, bright shining as the sun, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days, we've no less to sing God's praise, to sing God's praise than when we first begun, when we first begun. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Thank you, Jesus, I love you for this beautiful day.